together for Jesus. Amen.
Glory to God. Do you love Jesus?
Yeah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. For just a little bit, I want to bring a message entitled, Do Those Things. Those Things. I don't know if you remember the program called The Romper Room. Maybe not. I don't know. But when I was growing up, they had a little educational program called The Romper Room, and they had the do bees. Yeah, remember the don't bees and the do bees and things that you should do and list and all, and they would go over those things, and supposedly those are the right and wrong things to do. And but you know what? God has a to-do list also. Amen. And the writer here of John begins to note that and begins to point that out tonight. Said, do those things. You know, so many times we try to do our thing. Society has gotten to that point. It's my way or the highway. I'm going to do my thing. T-shirts have been printed, things, you know, bumper stickers, all of those things about doing whatever you want to do. If it feels right, do it, whatever those things. But, you know, all those things are against the Word of God. That is not exactly, because the Bible tells me we're not even our own. We've been bought with a price. How many know you've been purchased tonight? Thank God. If you're thankful for that, put your hands together again for Jesus. Amen. You can't love Him too much. Amen. Because He purchased us on the cross of Calvary. We're not even our own, but we have been bought with a price. And I'm glad to know that I belong to the family of God. But in so doing and in understanding this tonight, there's some things that we are supposed to do in order to be able to be called the little children or children of the Lord. And some of these things that, you know, you've heard the term no-brainer. I mean, some of these things ought to come automatic. In fact, I've said praise ought to come automatic. You know, so many times we depend on someone to say, put your hands together and praise the Lord, when, in fact, we don't really need anybody to tell us to do that. Amen. If we're happy and we're baptized in the Spirit of the Lord, amen, we shouldn't be urged to praise the Lord. Amen. It ought to come automatic. In fact, it ought to come as we come into the sanctuary. I believe it was David said, I was glad. Amen. When they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. And he found the sanctuary a place where he could glorify and praise the Lord. It should come automatic. Praise, amen, should not only be on our lips, but it should be in our hearts. And amen, not only in the house of the Lord, but we should praise him every day. Amen. For every blessing of life that he has bestowed upon us. But the Bible says here to do those things that please him. Amen. How many knows that it's better to please God than man? It's better to please God than ourselves. Because we talked this morning quite a bit about the flesh and the difference between the fleshly desires and the desires of the spirit. And we must let our spirit, amen, have subjection over our flesh. Because if it's the other way around, the flesh will lead us down the wrong path. The flesh will desire those things that are of the world because the flesh is of the world. We remember this morning the message was that God formed and fashioned us from the dust of the earth. That flesh always is going to be carnal. So being carnal is going to desire the things that are carnal. So we have to adhere to the Spirit, and we have to let the Spirit overrule the lust of the flesh. But here the writer says that we should do those things that please him. But first of all, one of the things, and these are not in numerical order here. These are just some of the things that are pointed out by the writer here. First thing he says is to believe. Amen. Can I see the hands of believers tonight? Glory to God. We really need to believe the Word of God. We don't need to just merely read the Word of God as a literary book or piece, but we need to read the Word of God because it is a living Word. It's God's holy Word. I believe it was anointed. I believe that the Spirit of God moved on men and to write the Word of God, and I believe it is good for those. And during that time, I believe it's good for people today. It still find encouragement. I still find deliverance. I still find victory. We need to believe, and also we need to believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not one that wants to take Jesus out of Christmas. And there's a lot of people that do that. I've heard so many political correctness things on, it's even on the cartoon channels. Of course, you know that Kevin has to be entertained, and in his room, the cartoon channel goes on constantly, I won't say 24 hours a day, but it goes on all day long, kind of keep him in. But every once in a while, when I'm there feeding him or whatever I'm doing, you sort of catch some of the things that are on the television. And one thing, it just kind of irked me, was it was one of the little cartoon characters, and they had a day of thanks a bunch instead of Thanksgiving. Thanks a bunch. And I thought, why in the world have they changed that? I mean, what is more precious and more sacred than Thanksgiving? I mean, Thanksgiving was about the pilgrims that came over, and they were giving thanks unto God for a safe voyage, for to help them through the winter, and to providing for them. And now it's not politically correct to say Thanksgiving, because that denotes some kind of worship. Amen. Have we gotten to a point, amen, where it's anti-political to even worship our God? If that's the case, I am not political at all, because I'm going to worship Him no matter what. Amen. And it's still a day of thanksgiving unto me. And really, they have just tried to take Jesus completely out of everything. They want to take Him off the public places. They want to take Him out of the nativity scene. But let me tell you something. You take Jesus out, you got no Christmas at all. You got nothing if you take Jesus out. And the writer here says you have to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. You have to believe on the Son of God. And you have to believe that He died on the cross of Calvary. Not only did He die, but He shed His blood for our sins. His atonement was the only thing that redeemed our sins. And not only do you have to believe in Jesus and believe that He died, but you must believe that He rose again. Amen. Not only the death and the burial, but also the resurrection. And the Bible says, the writer says, that do those things. Amen. Speak of Jesus. Amen. Love Jesus. Glorify Jesus. And believe on the name of Jesus. And the Bible says, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do it in the name of the Lord. And we need to understand that we need to confirm the name of Jesus in this lost and dark world today. The second thing, or one of the second things that the writer pointed out, was to love one another. Why do you think that the writer had to put that in there? Anybody? Amen. It's an encouragement. It's a reminder. Thank God for reminders. Amen. When you get my age, you need reminders. Sister Penny and I, we have a process of something that we do, and it seems to work out pretty good. First of all, we just said, oh, help me remember to do something. And I said, you want me to help you remember to do something? Do you know who you're asking to help you remember? And I do the same thing. I said, well, help me remember Monday morning. I got a dentist appointment, blah, 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 whatever this case may be. So we've learned. In our bathroom, we got two mirrors. So when I want to help her remember something, I'll put a note on it, and I'll stick it on her mirror right there so she can see it. And when she wants me to remember something, she'll put it on a note, and she'll stick it right there on the mirror. Because I will assure you that sometime during the morning, she and I both are going to be in front of that mirror. Amen. We're going to see something, and we're going to see something that reminds us. Amen. The writer here said, you know what? I know that you got the baptism of the Spirit. I know that you've been born again. But let me remind you, you need to love one another. Amen. And let me remind you, church, you need to love one another. Not just in fellowship in the church, not just in the sanctuary, but you need to love one another every day of your life. Because Jesus Christ was that perfect example. And He said to love one another as I have loved you. And the writer here deemed it necessary to do those things. If you want to do those things that are pleasing in the sight of God, not only be a believer, amen, but be a believer, also put it into to administration, put it to application. And when putting part of putting your salvation into application is loving one another. Amen. Even loving those that spitefully use you. Oh, that's a hard and difficult thing. But I guarantee if you do those things that are pleasing unto the Lord, you will receive blessing. Amen. So the writer pointed out to love one another. Amen. And loving one another means more than just taking hands and say, I love you. Amen. That's the easy part. Amen. But loving and preferring your brother, loving your sister, and honoring them and putting them even before you is a way that the Bible talks that we should do those things. Do those things. And when you do those things, amen, these other things won't crop up and be a constant obstacle in our mind. Those are the things you don't do. I remember my granddaddy, bless his heart, when he was the one that he would usually go to the grocery store and buy groceries. And Mama Ida, her sister Bailey, my precious grandmother, she had a way of giving the grocery list that really frustrated my granddaddy. And he called her Ida. Well, actually, he put an R in it. There was no R in Ida, but it was to him, it was Ida. And what Ida would say was, she said, well, get us some buttermilk, and I don't need any sweet milk. And get us some flour. I don't need any cornmeal. And get us some potatoes, and I don't need any onions. He said, Ida, don't tell me what you don't need. Tell me what you do need. But in her mind, she was going over this. She was thinking what was in the cupboard and what was already there. But he said, and then he'd get out there, and he'd bring something back, you know, because most of the time he didn't buy lists, he would just kind of remember it. And he said he'd get to the grocery store and he said, "That was potatoes." He said, "Don't need or do me," you know. And many, many times he'd bring things back that she didn't need. We need to understand that there's something that we need to put in our life and put in our walk with the Lord. There's certain things that we need to do. Amen. Do those things that are pleasing in the sight of God. Not to please your neighbor. You can't always please your neighbor and please God. I'm going to take it a step further. You can't always please yourself and please God. There's been many, many times I tried to please myself and God wasn't pleased with it. And I'd have to repent and say, "Lord, I want to be more pleasing to you. I don't want to have to be pleasing to myself or to my flesh, but I want to be pleasing and submissive and obedient unto you." Those are the reason I try to incorporate those words into my prayer each and every time that I pray. Lord, help me to be submissive. Help me to be obedient, Lord, to your will. So we need to love one another, not just in deed or not just with our tongue, amen, or not just with our tongue, but also in deed. Love one another and the things that you do for one another. Another thing, and this is very, very important, says keep his commandments. There's more than 10. How many of you realize that? There's more than 10 commandments of the Lord. We are supposed to adhere to God's word. His precepts, his statutes, they mean something. They're there for us to adhere to. They're there for us to obey. They're there for us to apply to our life. And those are the things that we need to do. Not man's commandments, not the pastor's commandments, not some person's commandments that's writing a book and saying things that you ought to do, but the commandments of Almighty God, these are things that we need to incorporate into our lifestyle. You want to be blessed? Amen. You want to be anointed of God? Then do those things. Amen. Do those things that are pleasing unto the Lord. Not only are we to love one another and keep his commandments, but he also says to abide in him. Abide in him. Now, what does that mean? Abiding in Jesus. That means walking and operating in the Spirit. Amen. You know, we walk not by sight, or we walk by faith, and we put our faith and trust in God, and we abide in his Spirit. And the way that we do that, we live and have our being in his Spirit. Amen. And we let him lead us and guide us in everything that we do, our tongue, yes, our thoughts, our actions, our conversation, almost everything. In fact, not almost everything, but everything that revolves around our life, amen, should be adhered to doing him and abiding in him and abiding in his Spirit. Amen. If we want the Spirit of God to abide in us, then we must abide in him. And you can't separate him from his word. So the best way to abide in the Spirit of the Lord is to abide in his word. His word is truth. His word is victorious. And his word is powerful. So we need to keep his commandments. And we also need to abide in him. Another thing that the writer points out. He says, keep the truth. Keep the truth. Keep the truth. Write it on the tables of your heart. Amen. You'll never have to back up. You'll never ever have to apologize for the truth. The truth is never going to have to be added to, and the truth is never going to have to be taken away from. If you'll just state the word of God, if we as Christians, if we as people who are living and a testimony of the love of Jesus Christ would just stick to the word of God when we're testifying and when we're witnessing, amen, and stick to the truth and tell people the truth. That's the reason there's so much confusion in the world today, because people have mishandled the truth. People have said, "Oh, that was for a different day," or "That needs to be upgraded," or "That needs to be modernized." I got an idea. We don't need to mess with the word whatsoever. Amen. We need to take it as it is. Amen. It was good enough. Praise God for our generations before us, and it was good enough for each and every one of them. It was good enough for the disciples as they began to live by the word of God, and it was good enough for the Apostle Paul, and I still believe it's good enough for us today. We need to keep the truth. We need to live the truth. We need to spread the truth. Amen. The truth doesn't need any accents on it either. Amen. It doesn't need any illumination. Just speak the truth and you'll never, never, ever have to apologize and back up. And how many knows the word of God is truth? And the Bible says the truth will set you free. Now, another thing that he mentions is having confidence in God. Having confidence in God. You know, confidence is a powerful, powerful word. You know, a lot of people say, well, they don't have enough self-confidence. And self-confidence is important. And I understand, especially in the business world, how they're talking about, listen, if you don't feel good about yourself, you're not going to be able to whatever product that you're promoting, you're not going to be able to promote that product. And, You know, I always said that in sales. You know, I was sold on the product that I was selling. I couldn't do it any other way. If I thought the product was inferior, if I thought the product was not good, if it was not beneficial, if it was not tasteful, if it was not appealing, then I was going to have a very, very hard time trying to sell that to somebody, amen, that I didn't even have confidence in myself. But if I liked that product, if I used that product, if that product had been good for me and I really enjoyed it, then I could tell the truth about that product and I could share that. So many times in my ministry, people have come up to me and said, Brother Eddie, I want to witness for the Lord and I want to testify for the Lord. What can I do? What scriptures can I use? Listen, any scripture is good, but you know what I tell them most of the time? If they're a novice, if they're just kind of starting out witnessing, I said, you know what? Nobody can tell your story like you can. Tell them how you came to know Jesus Christ. Tell them what a difference he has made in your life, because nobody else can tell that story like you can, because nobody else understands where you was and where Jesus Christ brought you from and what he's done in your life, and nobody else can tell it. You know, we can relate the story. I can relate the story of Brother Jim coming to the Lord. I can relate the story of others coming to the Lord, but nobody can tell it like Brother Jim can. Nobody can tell it, Sister Linda, like you can, when the Lord came into your life and what a difference he made and how glad you was and how blessed you was. And if you do that, then that's a great witness, because you're going to be able to tell the people factually exactly what happened, because you're an eyewitness to the fact. So you need to have confidence, and not just self-confidence, but you need to have confidence in God. Amen. I am fully persuaded that what God said he could do, he will do it. Amen. I don't need anybody telling me, well, maybe God didn't want to do that. I don't need anybody telling me, well, maybe it's not his time, because I don't need anybody trying to shake my confidence in God. It's not I've got confidence in myself. It's not even that I have confidence in my prayer or my faith, but I've learned this one thing. If I put my faith and trust in God, amen, God will back it up. So we need to have confidence in God. If we'll do those things are pleasing in the sight of God, and stay away from some of these things that involve our flesh or involve our desires or the lust of the flesh, because let me tell you, the lust of the flesh will get you in the wrong path. So do those things that are written here, and it's not just in this particular passage of scripture. There's things all in the Bible that we're supposed to confirm to, that we're supposed to live by and have those things operating and working in our life. The other thing, not only to have confidence in God, but have assurance in our heart. Man, I'm assured in my heart. You know, it's one thing, amen, to raise your hand when you say, whoever say raise your hand, but it's another thing to know it within your heart. To know it, and I believe with all of my heart that when Jesus Christ comes into your life, amen, you'll know it. You'll know it without a shadow of a doubt. You know how you stand with the Lord. You know that if you died tonight, where you would spend in eternity. And it's not because of our works. It's not because of my goodness. It's not because of anything that's righteous about me. It's because of the fact that I realized that I was lost and going to hell without Jesus Christ, and I opened up my heart's door and I asked him to come in and be Lord and Savior of my life. I realized the mission that he played, that he performed on the cross of Calvary. I understand about the redeeming power of the blood. I understand about the atonement. I understand about he's my mediator between God. I understand that he died for me, amen, because I understand that there was no sin in his life. The sin was what I brought into this world. And when we understand and know that, then we have assurance. And let me tell you, when you have assurance, it doesn't matter what you face. It doesn't matter what mountain you got to climb. It doesn't matter how many valleys you got to go through, how many storms you got to weather, or how many fiery furnaces you got to go through. When you have assurance in your heart that Jesus Christ is alive and well in your soul, then it doesn't matter what you face, because you know that God is going to see you through. Amen. All of these things are wonderful things that we need to apply to our life. Believing on the name of his son, Jesus. Loving one another. Keeping his commandments. Abiding in him. Keeping the truth. Having confidence in God. And having assurance in our heart. And having faith, lastly, that he abides in us. I thought it very interesting that the scripture here talks about knowing that we abide in him, but also it confirms that we should know and believe and have faith that he abides in us. There's a song that says he abides. He Hereby. Hereby doesn't mean he's a visitor, okay? When I tell you my wife abides with me, you can count on she lives with me. Amen. She doesn't just visit me. Amen. When I say that there's a son that abides in our house, you understand that he lives there. Amen. When we understand and know that Jesus abides in me. Amen. Every step I take, everywhere I go, every problem I face, I don't face it alone. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that comforting to know that we, you know, you talk about sending back the comforter. Amen. Not only is our Savior, but he comforts us. Amen. Through everything that we go through each earthly trial, through problems, through situations, to know that he abides in us. Thank God that he abides with us and understands the things that we go through. In fact, there's nothing, amen, that we've suffered that Christ is not already identified with. Amen. The sufferings. In fact, one place tells us the sufferings that we have down here in no way can compare to the glory that waits for us over there. You know, I had a question posed to me just before church tonight, a very interesting question that I had to stop and think about. And, you know, there's some questions that pastors don't know. And a young fellow asked me, he said, I want to ask you a question. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, when we get to heaven, will we quit growing? I said, that's an interesting question. I've never had that question posed. And I said, in my carnal mind, I would imagine that when you leave this walk of life, you would probably be the same age that you are. I said, but understand, you're going to have a different body. Amen. See, that's the thing that's really hard for us to understand. I believe we're going to have a different body. I believe we're going to have a glorified body. Amen. And I don't believe age is going to be anything. I don't believe whether male or female, I don't believe that's going to matter anyway. I can't understand all of that because we see through a glass darkly. Amen. But just the very fact that a young fellow had heaven on his mind and what it was going to be like lets me to know that he's been in the scripture. He's been listening in Sunday school and he's been paying attention. And you know, this is not in here that the writer said, but it wouldn't hurt to add to it. Amen. Train up your children. Amen. Raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Tell them the story of Jesus. Tell them about salvation. Amen. Put those precepts and those statutes and the commandments of God into their heart and let them understand that. Because let me tell you something. If we're waiting on education to do that, they're probably not going to do that. If we're waiting on our government to send down the dues and, amen, the right things to do in the Word of God, that's not probably going to happen. How many knows that's got to start in the home? That's got to start with the parents and the grandparents as we instill the Word of God into our children. Because as I often say, they're not the church of tomorrow, they're the church of today. They're very much a vital part of the church and of the body of Christ. And we need to understand that. So these are the things that we need to incorporate. These are the things that we need to practice to do. However it takes us to memorize those or to understand those things, if it takes putting them on the mirror when we get ready in the morning, if it takes putting on a little notepad, thank God for little yellow sticky notes. Amen. They're good. They put them on the dash. Amen. And remind us these are the things that we need to do and incorporate those in their daily life and our routine for God, because these are the things that are pleasing unto him. Amen. Yes. How many wants to please the Lord? I want my life to measure up. There's a song that says, I don't want nothing here to hinder me. Amen. I want to do whatever the Lord has in store for me to do. I want to be pleasing unto him. I want my life to be pleasing unto him. And I want my conversation. I want my ministry. Anything that I do, I want to dedicate that to the Lord. In fact, I don't know if you realize, I think I've told you here, everything in this church has been dedicated to the Lord. All the musical instruments, every pew that you're sitting on, even in the choir loft and out in the sanctuary, every pew has been anointed and prayed for. Amen. For the service of God. We thank God for what we've been able to be blessed with. God has blessed us immensely with a wonderful place to worship. But everything in this auditorium, the sound booth, everything has been anointed, amen, and committed to God. It's his anyway. It's not Brother Eddie's church. It's not the church's church. This belongs to the Lord, amen, and we dedicate that. And we want to do those things that are pleasing unto him, amen. I want to be pleasing unto God. Do you want to be pleasing to the Lord? Do you want your life to measure up? Amen. Thank God for his salvation. Thank God for his love. Incorporate those things into your life. And I will assure you, amen, when you lay your head on your pillow at night, amen, you'll feel a lot better if you've done and said those things that are pleasing unto the Lord. May God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. If you would stand, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Know that this altar is open. If you have a need tonight, we certainly want to pray for you. We have a lot of people who are sick, a lot of people who are afflicted. I got to share this with you real quick. I know I testified Wednesday night about Sister Dot Butler and how that she's progressing and doing well.